Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin. And we are right at the second line. And the Mishnah said, if you recall, that he's Golel the Sefer Torah. It's very weird. He's in the middle of laning. And somehow or other he does Glilah. He rolls it up, keeps it next to his chest over here. And he says, you should know that Yoyser Mimashe Karati Katufka. So there's more stuff here, but I'm not going to read it. I'm going to read it Baal Peh. What is this all about? V'kokach loma. Why does he have to tell them that there's more things in the Sefer Torah? Well, I mean, that's Kadesh Lolo Tzilaza Sefer Torah. Since he is not going to be Golel, I can't believe it. He shows his face for a minute, Richie, and then he disappears again. Just to tantalize us. So he doesn't want people to think something is wrong with the Sefer Torah. I mean, so why did he roll it up? He must have realized that the piece is missing from the Sefer Torah. My God, what a disaster. So in order that people shouldn't think that, you have to be very careful not to do something that will cause any type of Lashon Hara about a Sefer Torah. And then it says he reads the Asor Shachumash HaPekudim, which is the Parsha of Pinchas. And that's the various Musafim, that he reads Baal Peh. Well, why in the world does he read it Baal Peh? Why doesn't he just move to that part? Niglov and Ikris, or just read by being Golel. In other words, essentially, the Gemara's question is, why are we not Golel in public? I mean, because otherwise we've already answered this, obviously, yesterday when we said you're not allowed to be Golel to an area where it would cause the Mitargaman, Miturgamon, to stop. So what we're doing is we're asking what, in fact, is wrong with being Golel a Sefer Torah in public. Amar Rav Huna, Pereder of Yeshua, Amar Rav Sheshes, we don't do that. Why? In those days, they actually used to care about the kavod of the tzibur. So something that was a tircha de tzibura, I mean, you think we're here in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we'll wait 3 minutes. Okay, Lonora. We're going to have 100,000 people sitting there and waiting for me to roll a Sefer Torah. What are you, crazy? What are they supposed to be doing? Playing tiddlywinks meanwhile. So because of that, we don't do it. And instead, because of the Kavod HaTzibur, the Kohen Gadol reads it Baal Peh. Wait a minute. I mean, that's not what we do in Shul. I mean, we take out two Sefers, right? I mean, if you don't want to be Golel, so then have another Sefer Torah ready and read Pinchas from the next Sefer. What's going on? V'naitei achrina v'nikre. No, says Runa Bar Yuda. We never bring out more than one Sefer. Because if you bring out another Sefer, it looks like something is wrong with the first Sefer. So Mishum Pgamosh HaRishon? Resh Lakish says there's another reason. We don't bring out another Sefer because then when the Kohen Gadol would start reading from that next Sefer, he would need to make a new bracha. And it's a bracha sheina tzricha. He already made a bracha on the Kriyas HaTorah. So now if you're going to bring out a new sefer, which is not really necessary, he's going to be making another bracha, and we don't make a bracha that isn't absolutely necessary. What is Rav Huna referring to? We don't take out more than one sefer. We always take out more than one sefer. I mean, we even take out three svarim sometimes. Micha shina lipgoma. Well, we're worried about somebody thinking something wrong about the first Kriya, the second one. I mean, Omer Rav Yitzhak Mavcha, what happens if Rosh Chodesh Teves, which always comes out, of course, during Hanukkah, what happens if it comes out on Shabbos? So then you need three Sifrei Torah. And in the first one, you read the Parshas HaShavua, Zekorin Achat Ben Yonu Shayom. In the second one, we read the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh, because it's always going to be Rosh Chodesh Teves at some point during Chanukah, and if that comes out on Shabbos, so we have to read it then on Shabbos. So Achashor Rosh Chodesh for Teves, and Achashor Chanukah. And then we have the Kriya for Chanukah of that day also. So how come we read from three separate Sifrei Torah, and yet Rav Huna says we never do that. He says we're going to be chayish for Pgomei Shel Rishon. Where's the Pgomei Shel Rishon? Obviously, there's no such thing. Says the Gemara, there's no comparison. Over here, it's the same person. It's Kohen Gadol who's doing the Kriya, who's going to have to close the Sefer and take another Sefer make another bracha. I mean, so what does that add up to in people's mind? Hey, you were right in the middle of laning. Why in the world are you taking out another sefer? So because of that, there would be pagoma. If you have three people that are reading in three sefer Torah, we understand that each one was assigned a particular kriya, which is in a different place, and was given a separate sefer. That makes sense to people. So where you have Tlata Gavri, but Tlata Sifre, there is no pagam, because three different people are going to be leaning. If you had Chad Gavra, betray Sifre, but for one person even to read in twos for him, that's already, how come he closed up the first one? Must be something wrong. So over there, you're bringing a pagam to the first Sefer Torah. And then we said, Mivorech Alei Shmone Brachot. What are these eight brachot? So besides the bracha Rishayna, for the normal bracha before reading the Sefer Torah, after reading the Sefer Torah, we first make the normal Birchas HaTorah, Ala Torah Kederech Shemavarchim Bebeit HaKnesset, Shenatamanu Torat Emet, Chaye Olam, and so on. And then we say, the next brachas were listed as Havodah, Hoda'ah, and Mechilat Avon. Now those are all brachas that we say in the Beit HaKnesset, and we read them in the Beit HaKnesset, the way they were read in the Beis HaMikdash. So we say the Avodah, that could be the Ot Chalavatcha B'iran Na'avod, Hoda'ah is Armodim, Mechilat Avon is Mechal Avonesenu B'yom HaKippurim Hazeh, and so on and so forth, which is the tefillah that we have in the actual Amidah. So we know those brachas. Okay, then we have another bracha that we don't know. That's a very special bracha that was said only here, and that is Al HaMikdash B'fnei Atzmo. We talk about three different madregas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's choices. So he was Becher. He was Becher B'Amo Yisrael. He was Becher in the Kayanim. He was Becher in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why the Beit HaMikdash is called Beit HaBechira. And that's actually the Lashon of the Rambam. There's no Hilchot Beit HaMikdash. There's Hilchot Beit HaBechira. So each one of them has a special bracha, which is the Asher Bachar B'Mikdash, or Bachar B'Zaro Shel Aaron, or Bachar Yisrael. For fine, those are separate brachas. And then we have a general bracha, which we'll discuss in a moment, Sha'ar Tefillah, the rest of the tefillahs. What are the rest of the tefillahs? Says the Braisa, Toner Rabbanan, Sha'ar Tefillah goes like this. Rina techina bakasha milfanecha. So we are asking you in both rina and techina and bakasha. These are different madregas of tvila. Al amcha Yisrael shetzrichim lihivasha. We're asking you for Klal Yisrael that desperately needs your help, and we need a Yeshua. So the end of the bracha is baruchat Hashem shomea tefila. Now this is a little bit strange. I mean, for you to sit back and say, okay, I'm saying one thing, but I want this one thing to be included as a rina, and it should be a trina, and it should be, I mean, which one is it? Are you saying there's no difference in how you phrase something between rina, trina, and tefillah? I mean, that's crazy. So because of that, the Rambam has a completely different understanding of this. The lashon of the Rambam is, achakach omer, Tefillah, v'techina, v'rina, v'bakasha, kefi mashu ragil. The Rambam learns this is not the nusach of the bracha. It's telling the Kohen that the Kohen Gadol should be oisek in tefillah and techina and rina and bakasha the way he normally would when he has to be mispalal on this madrega. And those are different types of tefillahs. Obviously, it's different emotions. That's like techina is like we have the getter of tachanun, and it's everything is different. So what it means, according to Rambam, is, look, we're not defining what to say. The Sha'ar Tefillah means all of the personal ways that the Kohen Gadol wants to be mispalel on Klal Yisrael in every different way of Tefillah. So that's up to him. And the only thing that's important is the closing. So the closing is being given to us over here, which is Hosha Hashem et Amcha Yisrael, Sha'amcha Yisrael, Tzrichim Le'ivasha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Shomea Tefillah. And in fact, this is no different than we really do in our own Amidah. Because in order to be chotem shomea tefillah, we could say our own tefillahs, right? Any own tefillahs that you have, you put in shomea tefillah, and then you end with the standard ending of shomea tefillah. So on Yom Kippur, the standard ending is slightly modified because you have to introduce it with Amcha Yisrael Tzurchin Livasha, and it's in terms of all of Klal Yisrael, but the end bracha is the same as it always is. Baruch Atah Hashem shomea tefillah. This is the most reasonable approach to the Mishnah, in my opinion, is very clearly the Rambam. But as you know, I'm heavily prejudiced, but you can trust me nonetheless. Anyway, good. So that's the eight brachas. Now, then we have this additional point, which we didn't hear in the Mishnah, that achar kach kol achad v'achad mevi sefer Torah mibeito v'korei bo kedei la'arot chazuto l'rabim. Then comes the time for the hidur of the Sefer Torah, and this would explain why we're making such a big fuss over here about the Kriya and the dinim of the Kriya and the question of Tircha d'Tzibura and why we have to be so careful about not being pogam. Because remember, this is the day that we call the day of Kabbalah Satera, like the Mishnah says in Megillah. And this is the, in Tainus, I mean. So the Yom Simchat Libo, the Yom Chatunato, Yom Simchat Libo is a reference not to Har Sinai, is a reference to Yom HaKippurim, because that's the day that we got the second Luchas, and it's the second Luchas that we relate to as being the Mokar of the Torah that we have, in which case Yom HaKippurim is the very day that we're going to be thinking about Kabbalah HaTorah and the way that the Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Sifrei Torah in the end and put them together with those luchos in the Oren or on the shelf outside of the Oren, depending on the Shita. Anyway, the bottom line is that the day for the Hidur of a Sefer Torah is Yom Kippur. And therefore, we have an actual competition. Who has the most beautiful Sefer Torah? So everybody brings in their Sefer Torah to show off the ksav of their Sifrei Torah and the way that they were mahadir the Sefer Torah, and that becomes a sharing of the Hidur to everybody. Kedei la'arot chazuto l'rabim, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing that is everybody's reading out of their own Sefer. It's interesting that the only other time that we do something like this is on the other day of Kabbalah Satera, which is Purim, which is the Hodar Kibluas. Everybody brings their Megillah to show off their Megillah, and that's also similar. Yom HaKippurim is like the Yom of Purim. So we also bring our Sifrei Torah. Question, can we allow to literally bring them Mibeso? Rashi, for some reason, says you can't bring them from Beso, because it's Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to carry. But remember, you are allowed to carry, because we said that Yerushalayim has Latea no lot. And since Latea no lot, you're allowed to carry on Shabbos. So why would Rashi, this, I don't know, the Mefarshim ask on Rashi, why would Rashi say that it can't be, must be, he brought the Sefer Torah before Shabbos and brought it in to store there. They had like places for everybody to keep their Sefer Torah. Okay. Let's move on now to the next piece in the Mishnah. Haro'eh Kohen Gadol, at the time that is being Korei Batorah, is not going to be able to see the par v'soyer as they are being nisraf at the Beis HaDeshen. And whoever sees that part, sees it at the Beit HaDeshen, is not going to be able to see the Kohen Gadol. And as he's reading, and the Mishnah continues to say, and it's not because you're an otzer, it's because they're too far away from each other and they're taking place at the same time. I mean, isn't that obvious? I'm like, why would anybody think there's an isser? To watch the Kohen Gadol and then go and watch the Sreifa or vice versa? What possible Isser could be involved? It's Pshita. Well, the truth is we're going to see that there's all kinds of hidden in Yanim, in which it's not Pshita at all, but okay. But Lamaisa, what would be the simple reason why there would be a problem? Because ma'o de tema kid Resh Lakish. The Omer Resh Lakish ain ma'avirin ala mitzvot. Resh Lakish says you don't. We even had this benogea, how to put your tefillin away earlier. Remember, make sure that you put your tefillin shel rosh, your tefillah shel rosh on top, because that way it'll be the first thing that your aunt takes out, mashenkin. Otherwise, you're going to have to be ma'avir ala mitzvot, and you're going to have to not put on your tefillah shel rosh, because it says al yadecha first. So the same thing is true over here. If you were involved in a mitzvah of listening to the Kohen Gadol lane, so then what are you going to walk out and do? Go look for another mitzvah to do? In my viren ala mitzvah. That's what I would have thought. I understand. There's no mitzvah. You're a bystander. You're just in the audience. Why is that called a mitzvah? My mitzvah? No, of course it's a mitzvah. Because the more people that show up to actually watch the proceedings, the greater the kavod is of the proceedings. That's called Barov Am Hadrat Melech. So therefore, if I am one of the people that is contributing to the Hadar HaMelech HaKadosh Baruch Hu in sitting here in the, standing here in the Azara and watching the Kohen Gadol lane, so then I shouldn't, but you're going to watch a different mitzvah. You're going to bring kavod to that mitzvah. Okay, but you're not ma'avir ala mitzvah. So when you're doing this, you don't drop it to do another one, and vice versa. That's what I would have thought. And that maybe even just being the one who's bringing kavod to the mitzvah is the same as ein ma'avir ala mitzvahs. Kamash malan, that no, ein ma'avir ala mitzvah is only somebody who's actually oisek mamish in the mitzvah itself. Okay, comes along now our Kapitan, who is about to depart, I believe. No, Richie! Oh. Please mute yourselves. Hello? Oh, my gosh. Yes, okay. Sir Richard, please introduce us. I don't know, there's some energy that's going out there probably just because you're thinking of leaving. When is your departure? Will you be able to be with us tomorrow morning?
I'm leaving at 5 in the morning, unless the plane I'm on has Wi-Fi.
Ah, that would be nice.
Yeah, it might. I'll say something, but I never trust it. So if it is, then I'll try to do it tomorrow.
Okay, that would be great. That would be great. Okay, so we may actually have to miss Richie for a day. That would be a disaster, but hopefully it won't happen. Okay, Rabbeisai, we are about to embark, and I pity all those who are not here and are going to miss this introduction because it's very difficult to figure out what is going on here, and this is basically the daf that consolidates all of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim that we've been talking about until now. And therefore, I want to go over with you once again the issues in terms of the organization of the Parsha, how it relates to the organization of the Seder HaAvodah. And now we're going to be getting into four different possibilities. And if we include the differences between Rashi and the Rambam, we're actually going to be getting into a lot more than that of the real Seder of the Avodah. So the first thing that I think it's kedai to do is just to take out your achremot once again, and we can go over the Seder of the Avodah as it's listed here, and then realize what the issues are that are still going to be left open in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah has got some glaring missing pieces. So what we've done so far is we have been very, very loyal to the Seder of the Avodah that we find listed in Achremot. So we've got the story in Achremot. The first thing that we find in Achremot is that we've got a number of different korbanos that have to be prepared. And what is that? Bezot Yavo Aharon. This is in Vayikra Tetzayin, Posek Gimel. Bezot Yavo Aharon al HaKodesh. Bepar ben bakar lachatat va'ayala ola. Now that's his own par, and we've discussed this at great length, of course, and an ayah. We haven't gotten to his ayah yet, but we have talked about in our Masechet at great length the par that is brought bifnim. The ayala ola is a regular ayala ola. It's not brought bifnim. There's no chatas element to it and so on. And then we've got in Pasuk Hey, me'et adat b'nei Yisrael, Yikach shnei sirei izim l'chatat v'ayel echad la'ola. We've talked about the shnei sirei izim l'chatat. We have not talked about the ayel echad la'ola. So basically, the two ayels mentioned over here, the ayel la'ola of the Kohen Gadol And the Ayin La'olah that was supposed to be brought for Yisrael, we haven't gotten to that yet. And that is sort of, okay, something, we did everything else, we didn't do anything with that. Now, we also did deal with the Pasuk in the middle, which is Pasuk Dalin, which is Big Day Kodeshem V'rachatz B'mayin Bet Besaro V'levesham. We learned from there the deals about needing Kiddush Yadayim V'raglayim and needing Tefillah every time that there's a change of Begadim. So we dealt with that issue also. We also dealt with the question of who owns them, because we were medayik that it has to be his own personal money. Those were the opening psukim. All of those things we talked about. We talked about the Big Day Lavan, which are mentioned over here, which is the Ketonet Bat Kodesh Yilbash at Pasuk Dalet. So basically, we've been pretty good. And we've dealt with these psukim, except for the aisle. Now, we've left out the aisle. Okay, in Pasuk Vav, V'ikriva Aaron et parachatat asher lo v'chiper ba'ado ba'ad beito. Remember that that did not mean that he actually is makrivit. It means that he said the vidui. It's got to mean that, because only later does the pasuk talk about his actually shechting the korban. So this is the vidui one. Remember that there were two viduis on that part. So we had the vidui for himself and his personal home, and then he said the second vidui, which is the kaper for Am Kedoshecha, which is Aaron, the Kohanim, who are called Am Kedoshecha. Then we did that. So the second time we're going to get to. First time we did. Then it says, V'lakachet Shnei Asirim for the Goralot. Stand them up in the Azorah, V'natan Aaron al Shnei Asirim Goral. Goralot, Goralachat Lashem, Goralachat. We dealt with all of this. We talked about how to make the Goralot. We talked about what it means to put the Goralot. We talked about what the Goralot are made out of. We talked about what to do if one of them dies after the Goralot. We said to whether you have to redo the Goralot, if you have to bring another one. All of that was discussed at great length. We've really done a nice job in this Masechet on these psukim as they are presented. That's the way we presented them in the Mishnayos, and that's the way that the Gemara got into all of the details, each one of these psukim. V'ikriv Aaron et ha-sa'ir, asher alav ha-goral la-Hashem, v'yasohu chatat. So v'yasohu chatat does not mean that he shechs it. It means that he says the words la-Hashem chatat by putting the goral and puts the goral on, right? He hasn't done anything yet, as we'll see. The other sa'ir, Asa'ir n'posig yud, asher Allah lav agorala al-zazel yeomat chai, lifnei Hashem l'chaper alav. We discussed also at great length, how long does it have to be yeomot chai? What is the relationship of the presence of the soyer la'azazel to the heksher of the dam of the soyer anase bifnim? All issues that we discussed. Do you have to bring another one with the goral? Can you bring another one without a goral? What happens if you have more than one because one or two or three of them died and you had to do new goralot? Again, all discussed in the Gemara, beautifully discussed. We know all of these dinim. Now Aaron goes back and he does the second par, the second vidui on his par. V'ikriv Aaron et parachatat ha-shalom, pasuk yud alev, v'chiper ba'ado ba'ad beito does not mean to bring it as dam. As we'll see in a moment, v'chiper means he says another vidui. This is the vidui that is set for all of Aaron, meaning the Kohanim in general. V'shachat et parachatat ha-shalom, and now, only now, does he do the shechita. That's how we know that obviously v'chiper doesn't mean that he actually brings the dam. He hasn't even checked it yet. Then, and it's at this point that the Mishnah said, okay, so now that he did the Shechita, he hands the blood over to somebody who is going to be Memaris Bedam, because the next Pasuk says nothing about being Zorek the Dam. Instead, it says he's got to go and take Meloah Machata, Gachalei Esh, Me'ala Mizbeach, Milifnei Hashem, Meloah Chofnav, Ktorat Tzamim Daka, Evim Mibet Lapar. Oh my God, we went into such detail with this. How much does it weigh? What type of material was it made out of? What hand does it carry it in? The left hand, the right hand? And what happens if it spills out? How does he do chafina? Do you need a second chafina inside? All of the issues that are raised by the very simple statement in the pasuk, leaving so much that needs to still be analyzed. We did a great job. We spent many, many days on this. And we understand that pasuk too. V'natan et haktorat ala esh lifnei Hashem, v'chisa anan haktorat et hakapora. Absolutely, we discussed this at great length, the difference between the tzedukim's approach and the approach of the Torah, and why it is, what happened to Kohanim that didn't do this. It says, v'lo yamut, we talked about the 300 Kohanim gedalim, how many of them died during the course of the year, and the fears that people would have that the Kohen Gadol would actually be killed on Yom Kippur, and so on and so forth. All of that we did a good job on as well. Then Pasuk Yod Dalet, v'lakach midam apar, v'izah be'etzba'o pnei hakaporet kedma, v'lifnei hakaporet yazer sheva pa'amim min adam be'etzba'o. Unbelievably, we were medayek every last word. What is the relationship between the al hakaporet, the lifnei hakaporet, and how does that al and lifnei relate to the seira chatat in the next pasuk? V'vi'atamo b'pevasatamo kasher v'izah al hakaporet, lifnei hakaporet. We made all those diukim with a hekesh and a gzera shava, and we were talking about, is it supposed to actually touch? Does it not touch? And why one goes up and one goes down? And what does it mean one goes up and one goes down? And does it mean that the blood is actually in a different place? Or does it mean you make your fingers are aimed upwards, your fingers are aimed downwards? Did it actually touch? The story of visiting the Vatican in the Gemara, and that they actually found that there was dam on the, and so on and so forth. All of this great job we did, and the interrelationship of saying achas, achas, v'yachas, and you have to go through, make sure that you have a separate minui for the up and the down, ala kaporet, lifnei kaporet, same thing, ala parochet, lifnei, ala v'lifnei, the same exact, bibet la parochet, exactly the same. So, then we get the pasuk tet zayin. This is v'chiper ala kodesh bitumot b'nei Yisrael mipisheihem l'chol chatotam, v'chein yaseh lo mo'ed ha'shocheni tam betoch tumotam. There we have the whole understanding that we have separate types of kaporas. There are three different kaporas, and these are not, this is very nogei halacha l'maaseh, because if something happens to the dam, it means you don't go back into the kodesh hakadoshim. You can now start with a new parvah soyer in the Beit, the bayit of the Heicha. Then we have this next pasuk, which has to do with V'yatsa el HaMizbeach. We described in the Gemara in exactly the right place. We followed all of these psukim. We defined, what do you mean V'yatsa el HaMizbeach? We're already there. And we said it means that you're supposed to go to the other outside, facing the parochet from the outside of the Mizbeach towards the west, and not from the east as you would turn around. And because of that, remember, we had to pass by the western corner, which even though ein ma'avirin ala mitzvahs, we walked by it, and then that defined it when we would go back, that we would then go back to where it was. The machlok is about which direction, whether it's clockwise or counterclockwise. We would go around the Mizbeach, incredible detail. I mean, look how wonderful this is. We went through each pasuk with every possible variation, understanding of the detail of the chiyuvim. And then we have the v'lakach midam apar midam asoyer. We had a machlokas, whether that means they're separate, or does that mean that they were put together even now before we sprinkle the dam on the karnot hamizbeach. We had a machlokas. And then v'natana karnot hamizbeach saviv. Then we have another hazoya where everybody agrees for sure. There it says v'zalav min hadam. There was only one dam, so we must have mixed the dam apar, the dam hazoyer, and from there we learned that olam are not mevatlim says because after all hadavar yadua shadam hazoyer is meruba from dam apar. And v'tiaro v'kitcho mitumot bnei Yisrael. From v'tiaro we learned that you have to clean off the top of the mizbeach from all of the ashes that were there from the k'teres. And you have to put it directly on Tiharosh al Mizbeach, Tiharosh al Mizbeach. And now, V'chila mikaperes HaKodesh HaPasuk Chof, that was a machlokas, Im Kila Kiper or Im Kiper Kila, which was then a sub-machlokas, whether that's an Afkamina la-halacha, or whether it's just a difference in how it is that you say it. And the Nafkamina was the Shiyore Hadam. And then it's now time to go back to the Seir HaChai and to say the vidui on this Seir that was going to be sent Lazazel, exactly the Seder that we did in the Mishnayos and in the Gemara. So v'samach Aaron et shtei yadav al rosh ha-Seir HaChai, hidvadala v'et kol avonot b'nei Yisrael, v'et kol pishayem l'kol chatotam. We went to the machlokas whether kol b'nei Yisrael includes the Kohanim, or whether the Kohanim are supposed to be getting their kapora on other averes from the vidui that was said together with their soyer, with the par that was made by Aaron, whether there's a difference between that vidui and the dam, the same way there's a difference between the dam of the soyer and the vidui and the soyer. We went through that machlokas. And v'shilach biad ish iti amidbora, we discussed that as well. What is the difference between ish and iti, and what does it mean that he has to be iti, and the implications of iti, legabe chilul Shabbos, legabe tuma v'taira, and it's the same thing as b'moado, and so on and so forth. And then we had the nasasir alavet kolavonotam alaretz gezira, the description of the kevesh, the description of the bavlium, who weren't really bavlium, were Alexandrian, and they would be pulling the hair, and they would say, take those avonos out of here. All of that is based, of course, on this pasuk. Uh-oh. Now we arrive at a pasuk that we have no idea what it's talking about. And that was the pasuk Chaf Gimel that we, when we started the Masechet, we went through that to show that this is our problem pasuk. And all of a sudden, our order breaks down. Because it says that after that, Uba Aaron el Ohel Moed, upashat et bigdei abad asher lavash bevo el hakodesh, v'inicham sham. Now, it does not say what he does when he goes into the Ohel Moed. What do you mean he went into the Ohel Moed? What did he do in the Ohel Moed? When did this happen exactly? What is it referring to? No idea. So because we had no idea, we skipped it. Okay, now we continue going straight into the next passage. V'rachat et besaro b'mayim b'makom kadosh v'lavash et b'gadav. Now at last, v'yatsa v'asat olato v'edot olat ha'am v'chiper ba'ado uva'ad ha'am. So now we're getting at last to the aisle. Par ben bakar l'chatat we talked about. And now after this mysterious visit inside, the next pasuk says that now he should take care and bring his oila, and bring the oila of the El Ha'am, which was Me'et Adat B'nei Yisrael, the Kushnei Sirei Izim V'ayel Achad Lo'ola. Fine. And now he brings that, and then Chelav HaChatas Yaktira Mizbecha. So then that means that when he shechted, he took out the dam, he dealt with the dam. And then when he needed to send out the bodies of the par and the soyer that are nisrafim, he already had opened them up, remember, Qur'an, and had taken out the emurim. But he didn't bring the emurim, as we just learned in the Gemara. Hiktiran salkadaitach. He didn't bring them, because it says he only brings them after he brings the elova elaam. So the Mishnah hasn't gotten yet to the elova elaam. So how did the Mishnah before say vihiktiran? So the Gemara answered, do not say vehiktiran, say lehaktiran. So then that means that he brought them in order to be makriv. When was he makriv them? After elo ve'el ha'am. So now we have a sense of what is happening. Because we are now up to this point. This is the point that we haven't yet said in the Mishnah. And the Kohen is going to now be going to bring the Elo ve'Ela'am and the Chelav HaChatas Yaktira Mizbecha, right? Yes, right. But this Mishnah is going to have to also struggle with the question of what happened in between. What was that mysterious Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Uba Aaron El Ohel Moed? And is the description of Pashat et Bigdei Abad Asher Lavash, is that the Bigdei Abad Asher Lavash at the beginning of the Parsha? So then what would that mean? That would mean that everything that he did in the Bigdei Lavan was done in one tefillah, one change of clothing into Bigdei Lavan, and then he ends the Bigdei Lavan and goes back to the Bigdei Zahav. If so, then that would mean that we only have the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol when he's putting on his Bigdei Zahav, a second tefillah when he's putting on his Bigdei Lavan, and a third tefillah when he's putting back on his Bigdei Zahav in Pasuk Chaf Dalet to bring Elo ve'Ela'am. But I thought there's supposed to be five tefillas of the Kohen Gadol, not three. And the way that the Pasuk seems to be saying, unless there's some mysterious thing that took place in Pasuk Chaf Gimel that was mechayev of him to put back on his Big Day Lavan, which he had not been wearing, and then to do that mysterious thing, and then that means something had to have been adding an additional tefillah to put his Big Day Lavan back on to take them off again. Now, that would add two tefillahs, which would be great, because our Kabbalah is that there were five tefillahs, so that something was done the Big Day Zahav when he walked in. Oh, we know what that was. That was the Tomit Shel Shachar, and that was the Trumas HaDeshen, and that was the Keteres, the normal Keteres Shel Boker, and that was the Chavitim of the Kohen Gadol. I mean, all of that stuff we read about in the beginning of the Masechet, that was sort of pre-Achrei Mot kind of stuff, and that was done in his Big Day Zav, because it had nothing to do with the Avedis Yom HaKippurim. Then he put on his Big Day Lavan. Now, everything that we've read so far was in his Big Day Lavan, even including the Kriya from the Sefer Torah. If he wants, he could still be wearing his Big Day Lavan. And then we would get up to bringing Elo ve'Ela'am. He would finish bringing Elo ve'Ela'am. Then he would get rid of his Big Day Lavan, put on his Big Day Zav, and what is left? Well, maybe he would do Elo ve'Ela'am with the Big Day Zav. But what else would he have to do? Oh, what else? Are we forgetting everything else that takes place that's not part of Achrei Mot? Besides everything that has to be done on a normal day. So you're going to have to bring the Tumah Shel Bein Arba'im. You're going to have to bring the Keteres Shel Bein Arba'im. You're going to have to take care of the menorah, the Hadlakas HaMenorah. And oh my God, we forgot the Musafim. Where were the Musafim brought? We haven't said one word about the Musafim. So let me examine with you the story of the Musafim, because we're going to see that we got more problems when we talk about the Musafim. So if we look at the Musafim in Pinchas of Yom HaKippurim, so it says over there, this is Bamidbar Choftet Posig Zayin. Uve'asor lachodesh hashevi'i azeh mikra kodesh yelachem ve'initem et nafshotechem ko melacha lo tasu. And then we have what appears to be a very standard musaf. This is the same musaf that we find on all of the holidays, basically. V'ikraftem olah l'Hashem riach l'choach, par ben bakar echad. Now this par obviously has nothing to do with the par of the Kohen Gadol, because that was a chatas, and that was brought bifnim. So there's no way to confuse that par with the par that was brought by the Kohen Gadol, Bizot Yavo Aaron el HaKodesh, Bepar Ben Bakar, Lichatat. Right? Okay, so forget it. This has nothing to do with that. Anyway, who would be stupid enough to confuse Achrei Mos with Pinchas? Pinchas, after all, is all about Musafim, and Achrei Mot, after all, is all about Avedas Yom HaKippurim. And therefore, never the twain shall meet. In which case, when it says Ayel Echad, we should assume that the Ayel Echad has nothing to do with the Ayel that was mentioned in Achrei Mot. Now remember, there was that Ayel in Achrei Mot that we haven't explained. I understand that Bezot Yavo Aaron al HaKodesh Bepar Ben Bakar Lechatat V'Ayel Olah cannot be this Ayel, because this Ayel belongs to the Tzibur. And this is an Ayel that's brought as a Musaf. But what about the other Ayel? Me'et B'nei Yisrael, could there be a relationship between this aisle and the aisle of Bnei Yisrael, and the aisle of Bnei Yisrael is referring to this same aisle that's brought as a Musaf, and we're mixing it up with Avedis Yom HaKippurim? Why would anybody be so crazy as to say something like that, when obviously all the other Karbanas have absolutely nothing to do with Achrei Mot? They are completely Yom Kippur oriented. Gosh, I don't know. But unfortunately, we're going to see that that is a big question. Is the aisle mentioned here with the Musafim the same aisle that is mentioned in the beginning of Achrei Mos? Now let's continue on and see why we might come to that kind of confusion. Minchatam solet v'lav ha-shemen, classic Musaf language. Every single Musaf we read about says exactly the same words. Yisaron yisaron la keves echad v'shivata kvasim. Classic language appears everywhere. And so does the word Si'iri Zimechad L'chatat, in which case the next words are mind-boggling. Milvat Chatat HaKippurim. Milvat Chatat HaKippurim. Obviously, Milvat Chatat HaKippurim. What in the world? What, I would think that the Si'ir Izim Echad Chatat is the Si'ir that is going to be brought in Achrimot, Me'et B'nei Yisroel Ikach Shnei Si'irei Izim? Is that what I would have thought, that the Torah has to tell me that it's Milvat Chatat HaKippurim, when we're in the middle of the Parsha of the Musafim, which are standard, every Yontiv has a Si'ir for Echadas? Now, we would have thought that that Si'ir was the Si'ir that was Nasir Bifnim. That's crazy, isn't it? But if that's true, it's got to have implications about the aisle as well. I mean, you didn't say the aisle is milvad, the El Ha'am that you bring on Yom Kippur, so maybe it isn't. Maybe if there's some fundamental relationship between the Musaf and the Avedas Hayom, so then we need to consider whether the aisle that was mentioned before as the Eila, maybe it's the same aisle that's mentioned as the Eila, together with the Sawyer that we have to say, no, no, don't get it confused. That's a different Sawyer. But the aisle may be the same aisle. All of this needs to be taken into consideration by this poor Mishnah that has got an awful lot to deal with and turns out does a very poor job in dealing with it, as we'll see in the Gemara. So now that we know what's involved, let's take a look at our Mishnah. Im bevigdei butz kore. Now, if the Kohen Gadol had, remember, was up to him, it was his choice. Does he want to wear his big day lavan that he was wearing from before when he goes into the Ezras Nashim, or does he want to wear his own personal beged that was a very high quality beged? If he had chosen to continue to read in his own big day boats, his own linen special big day lavan, so now it's time to get into his big day zav. In order to do that, he has to be mekadesh yada veragla before he takes off his clothing. Now that, remember, was a machlokas. The Tanakhama holds he does the Kiddush Yod HaVeragla before he takes off his clothes. But remember, according to Rabbi Meir, he doesn't do the Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim until after he takes off his clothes. Okay, fine. So this is no problem. It's going according to the Tanakhama. He was Mekadesh Yod HaVeraglav. He takes off his Big Day Lavan. He goes to the mikveh. He dries himself off, alav and his tapag, and now this is only the third time that he's gone to the mikveh that the Mishnah's told us about. Ve'hiviu lo bigdei zahav, and he puts them on, and he's mekadesh yad v'raglav, and now we're up to the next pasuk, which was pasuk chav dalit. V'yatza v'asa et elov elaam. So now he goes and he brings the two elim, and he also brings the shivat hakvasim b'nei shana. So that means that at this point, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, at this point, together with the Shnei Elim, he would be bringing the Shivat HaKvasim. Now, Rabbi Eliezer didn't say, yeah, but what about the other? There were other things besides the Shivat HaKvasim. I mean, there was the Sayer, which was a Chatos. There was the Par. You had to bring a Par La'ola. You had to bring an Ayah La'ola. How come he doesn't talk about them? Apparently, the Ela'am is the aisle that you were bringing Lola for the Musaf, and you also bring the Shivat HaKvasim at that same time, and we don't know. What do you do with the rest of it? He didn't say. But that's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Rabbi Akiva says, no, what do you mean, the Musaf? The Musaf is always brought together with the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar, because it always says Milvad Olata Tamid, right? So the Milvad Olata Tamid was the first thing that we did in the morning, which must have meant that when he was wearing his Big Day Zahav in the morning, let's identify these periods, gentlemen, to keep it clear in our minds. Let's identify the periods by the tefillah, because that way we will figure out how many tefillahs there were. So remember, the first tefillah was for putting on the Big Day Zahav in the morning, when he came into the Beit HaMikdash. During that time, what did he do? Took care of the Mizbeach, brought the Tomid Shel Shachar, brought the Keteres, did the Hatavas HaNeiros, and, says Rabbi Akiva, and he brought the Shivat HaKvasim of the Musaf, didn't he? I mean, it's Milvad Olat HaBoker. And so at that time, he brought the Shivat HaKvasim. And what about the Par HaOla? Now, there's two ways of reading the next words. The Mishnah is very ambiguous. It might be read like this. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Im Tamit Shal Shachar HaYakrevim, together with the Par HaOla. U Par HaOla, period. Which would mean that all of the Musafim, except for the Ayil, and except for the Sayer, were brought together with the Tamit Shal Shachar. So that would mean the Par that was brought for the Ayla, and the Shivat HaKvasim that were brought for an Ayla, they were brought in Tefillah 1. So that's already been covered. Now, the Sayer HaNaseh B'chutz, that was brought together with the Tamit Shal Bein Arbayim. Please do not confuse, even though the language is so confusing, do not confuse the Sayer HaNaseh B'chutz with the way we've been talking about it until now. It's not referring to the Sayer HaNaseh B'chutz, which is the Sayer La'azazel, because that's how we contrast the Sayer HaNaseh B'fnim and the Sayer HaNaseh B'chutz. The Sayer La'azazel is already out of the way. We're not talking about that. And we're talking about the Sayer of the Musaf. So the Sayer of the Musaf is a normal Chatas. It's not brought into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Heichal. It's simply done like any other chatas, which is done with every sawyer that's done with every musaf. So, fine. So, that sawyer, that is called the sawyer that is na'aseh b'chutz, which is the same as the standard chatas of the mo'adim. So, this is a chatas ma'mo'adim. Very good. Excellent. So, that was brought together with the tamid shel bein ha'arbayim. Now, there's a machlokes what that means. According to Rashi, the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim is brought during the fifth tefillah. Because as you recall, there is a missing fourth change of clothes. And that change of clothes was that you go back, put on the Bigdei Lavan, go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and take out the Kaf Umachate, take it out, and then change back into the Bigdei Zahav. So that is the missing piece, according to the way the Gemara comes out. And that means that he didn't get around to doing the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim until he's already at the point that he's ready to do the Keterah Shel Bein Arbayim, the Menorah, the Hadlakas HaMenorah. And at that point, he also did the Musafim that were left and that hadn't been brought before. And that would include the Sayer HaNaseh B'chutz, and possibly the Par HaOla, because we might read Rabbi Akiva as saying that the Shivat HaKvasim were Petamid Shel Shachar Yukrevim, stop, Upar HaOla V'Seir HaNaseh B'chutz were Krevim Im Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. In fact, the language of HaYukrevim, which is Lashon Rabim, implies that it must be referring both to the Par HaOla and the Seir HaNaseh B'chutz, right? And that's exactly why the Gra takes out those words. Just cut out the words are you kravim. So just read v'sayer HaNaseh B'chutz im tamid shel bein arbayim. In which case it remains ambiguous. Is it the sayer HaNaseh B'chutz or is it the par ha'ola v'sayer HaNaseh B'chutz? Okay, now you understand why it's ambiguous. Tosfos, who doesn't take out the words, has to explain that the Lashon Rabim we can justify with the fact that we have to bring the emurim of the chatas at this time as well, so it uses the Lashon Rabim. Okay. So now, this is how Rashi learns that there was a reference here to the final tefillah, number 5. The Rambam does not understand it that way. The Rambam says all of these things were done with tefillah number 3. Tefillah number 5 was only for the Keterah Shel Bein Arbayim, and it was for the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, and so on and so forth, and the Menorah that was done which is, we'll see, is called the Hadlakas HaMenorah, but we're going to refer to it as the Hatova as well. Okay. Then, Kidesh Yada Varaglov continues the Mishnah. He takes off his Bigdei Zahav, Bashat, Yarad, Vitaval, Va'alav, and Istapag. This is now the fourth tefillah. They bring him the Bigdei Lavan again. He puts them on, does his Kidesh Yadayim Varaglayim, and comes in specifically to take out the Kafu Machta. This adds an additional tefillah and change of clothing. Then again, he has to take them off. Kiddush Yad Haraglav. For the last time, he's Tovel the Olav and his Tapag, puts back on his Big Day Zahav, and he's Lavash, Kiddush Yad Haraglav, and now he does what needs to be done in the afternoon. Which is what? Well, according to Rashi, it also includes the Musafim, the Shivat HaKvasim. He's going to be Makter the Keter Shal Bein Arbaim. He's going to be Meitiv the Neiris. According to the Rambam, that's it. According to Rashi, no. This is where he does the Soyer Anas Bachutz also. And at that point, he takes off his Begadim. No Tvila necessary because he's going to be putting on Big Day Chol. Evilo Big Day Atzmo. And this is the end of the five tefillahs, 10 kiddushim. And now they walk with him back to his home, and he would make a yontov there, yom tov ayah selo avav, when he got out of the base of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Baruch Hashem, he made it home, which he was never sure that he would ever see again, and yotzeh b'sholom min HaKodesh, and so he would make a kiddush to make sure that he was properly made mishabeach. Now, this Mishnah is extremely confusing. Let's take a look, says the Gemara, at what's confusing. First thing that's confusing is what did Rabbi Akiva mean? Yiboylo, when Rabbi Akiva said that the Shivat HaKvasim, Im Tamid Shal Shachar Hayu Krevim, stop, and then the Par HaOlav V'Seir HaNaseh Bachutz, those two were Krevim Im Tamid Shal Bein Arbaim. Note that it doesn't use the word Hayu Krevim, like the Gra, because the Gra took out those words from the Mishnah. So the Par HaOlah and the Sar HaNaseh Bachutz were brought with the Tamid Shal Bein Arbaim. Or maybe what Rabbi Akiva was saying was that the Amachikama, the Shivat HaKvasim were brought together with the Tamid Shal Shachar and the Par HaOlah was brought with them. U Par HaOlah. Now, stop. Start the next piece. V'soyer HaNaseh Bachutz, that was brought with the Tamid Shal Bein Arbaim. That's our first very ambiguous statement in the Mishnah. Now, another thing that is completely unclear in the Mishnah is, according to Rebbe Eliezer, this is supposed to be a machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Akiva, and yet Rebbe Eliezer doesn't say a single word about what to do with the Par HaOlah or what to do with the Sawyer. Only Rabbi Akiva talks about it. Well, what about according to Rabbi Eliezer? If you're bringing out the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, then for heaven's sakes, you got to tell me when he did it, right? And then the Mishnah leaves out the next pasuk. We thought we're supposed to be going according to the psukim over here, and the next pasuk was specifically, remember, after we finish all of those things, the olato ovel, olata am. The very next pasuk cafe is ve'et chelev hachatat yakter hamizbecha. How come the Mishnah never tells us a word about when we're supposed to be bringing the chelev hachatat, which was inside of the megis? Not a word. How do you explain that? Omar Rava, listen, gentlemen, this Mishnah is in bad shape. If you think that this Mishnah is going to be giving you a full picture of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, you're not going to find it in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is setting you up to become aware of the problems. Now you're going to have to work out all of the different shitas of these problems. Now, if you want to work them out, then I suggest that you look at other sources. And if you want to understand Rabbi Akiva, you're going to have to look at one place in the Tosefta. If you want to understand Rebbe Eliezer, which wasn't even mentioned here, you're going to have to look in another place, in a different brisa. So I'm telling you, lo mashkachat la matkanta, you will not find a proper description of Avodas Yom HaKippurim, unless, if you want to know what Rebbe Eliezer says, then you're going to have to learn it in a brisa that was said over in the Beis HaMedrash of Shmuel. If you want to understand Rebbe Akiva, you're going to have to go to the Tosefta, and it's not going to be from this Mishnah. I'll tell you what the Tana Devei Shmuel, what is mentioned there, Alibi de Rebbe Eliezer, okay? The Rebbe Eliezer over there spells it out for you in that brisa. That Rebbe Eliezer says, Yatzah. Yatzah doesn't even make any sense, because where was he inside that he has to be Yatzah? Now, that obviously is meant to set us up to try to understand the missing Aveda, because it says, V'yatsa, V'yasat olatove et olata'am. So the, in saying in the Brayta the word V'yatsa, we're just following the Pusik Chof Dalet, which was very mysterious, because there was nowhere to be Yatsa to, unless we took the Pusik in the middle as referring to some kind of mysterious thing that had been done bifnim, which then required a V'yatsa. But what the heck is the V'yatsa? That is not clear either. But anyway, it says over there that he was Yatsa, and he does Elo ve'elo ha'am fe'ayla ha'am. Okay, that part we saw in the Mishnah, that's fine. But he adds, he brought the emurei chatas, that's perfect now because that's the next pasuk, after Elo and El ha'am. But what did he do with the par ha'ola, which was included together with the Shivat HaKvasim in the Parshas Pinchas description of the Musafim? Well, the par ha'ola and the Shivat HaKvasim and the Sa'ir, all of them, those are all parts of the Musaf. The Musaf was done after the completion of all of these other Avedais, except for the Ayil, because the Ayil was the Ayil that was done as the El Ha'am. So that was done before the Emurei Chatas. But the other things were done with the Tomid Shel Bein Arba'im, according to Rashi, in Tefillah number 5. According to the Rambam, in Tefillah number 3. Whereas Rabbi Akiva in the Tosefta has a full braita that describes his shita. Rabbi Akiva Emer, par ha'ola, together with the Shivat HaKvasim, was brought with the Tomid Shel Shachar, and there's no way out of that. For God's sake, can't you read a pusik? It says, milvad olat haboker, asher olat ha'tamid. I mean, you can't get clearer than that. The Musafim are meant to be brought together with the olat haboker, asher olat ha'tamid. Now, even though he makes it sound like, well, how can you argue with that? The truth is that that pusik does not appear in conjunction with Yom Kippur at all. That pusik is said with the pusik of the Musaf on Pesach. It's just that we're making an assumption that that is the model for all Musafim. I mean, that's not all that persuasive, but okay. That is Rabbi Akiva's basis, that Musafim are meant to be brought with the things asher lo latatamin, and afterwards, then we have the Avodah Sayon. Now, of course, I do admit that we have a little problem. What's that? Well, that's the fact that the Torah itself mixed us up by putting in those words, Si'iri zimechat chatat milvad chatat ha-kippurim, and the chatat ha-kippurim has nothing to do with the price of eggs in China here. We're supposed to be dealing with the Musafim. Okay, I have to admit that that definitely looks very suspicious. So I'll tell you what that means. What that means is that you only bring the Si'ir izim from the Musaf, which is the Sawyer that is nasa on the Mizbeach HaChitzein, the third Sawyer, not the Sawyer anasa bifnim, in the Beis HaMikdash itself, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal, not the Sawyer HaNasa Bachutz, which is the Sawyer LaZozel, but the Sawyer HaNasa Al HaMizbeach HaChutz, which is a third Sawyer, which is the Sawyer of the Musafim. It says over there to only bring that after you've already taken care of the Chatat HaKippurim, so then that means that the other Sawyer, which is the Chatat HaKippurim, had to go first. So I can't possibly bring it with the Tumit Shel Shachar, because then I would have first brought the Musaf, and then I wouldn't have it to bring now. So I admit that, look, I mean, I've got to agree to Rebbe Eliezer, at least about that, that everything else, the normal Musafim, the Shivat HaSeirim, the Par, all of that is brought in the early morning together with, right after the Tumit Shel Shachar, together with the Ketera Shel Kol Yom, and so on. Then we do the Par, the Shnei Seirim, and then we do the Shnei Elim, and then we do the Sawyer that is Nase Bachut. So I have to admit that. So the I say, we've got to do first the Musaf, then we do Avodah Sayyim, then we do the Sawyer on Nase Bachut, the third one, then we do the Eye of Elam, then we do the Emurei Chatas, which is in the next Pasuk, and then we get to the Tomid Shel Bein Arba'im, and I'm skipping and not discussing the mysterious Aveda of Pasuk Chaf Dalet. I didn't tell you what happened there at all. Okay. So that basically leaves us with very different understandings, both of Rebbe Eliezer and of Rebbe Akiva, and we will have to go into the details of the machlokas tomorrow. I do not have charata that I went through all these psukim with you. I do not believe there's any way to understand this Gemara unless you are thoroughly acquainted with the psukim, both in Vayikra and in Bamidbar. And gentlemen, if you do this right, when you get to Yom HaKippurim, Be'ezras Hashem, you will be so fully aware of how each and every one of the Avedas is going to be connected, what you learned in the Gemara with all of the details. It's going to be a whole different Yom Kippur for you, because of the Avedas Hayom will finally make sense, and all the glaring errors of that poem and so on will just drive you up a wall, but you'll know that you know better. And maybe you'll even decide to read the Rambam of Seder Aveda instead of doing the poem of the Seder Aveda. I don't know how far you want to go. That's what I do. But anyway, we're continuing the Seder of the Avedas Yom HaKippurim and the Machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov the way that we saw it yesterday. As a matter of fact, I think what we should do is we should just review the way that we learned Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and Rabbi Akiva as follows. So let's start from the bottom of Amud Aleph again. And we have the Rebbe Eliezer that we said we have to learn out Rebbe Eliezer in the Tanah Devei Shmuel, or we have Rebbe Akiva from the Tosefta. So let's start on the last of the middle lines. There was four lines up, closing words. So we have Rebbe Eliezer, we have the Tanah Devei Shmuel, was the Rebbe Eliezer Omer. Yatsa v'asa elo ve'ela'am ve'murechatas, avopar ha'ola, v'shivata kvasim, v'seir nase b'chutz, im tamid shel ben ha'arbayim. So now let us recall what's happening. Boy, I sure hope you guys, whoever wasn't here, had a chance to go over the limud of yesterday and all of the psukim. Good boy, that's great. Good to know. Alon's been doing his job properly. What we have over here, I'm going to remind you again because it's so central. We have two completely different parshas, remember. We have the parsha of Avodas Hayom in Achrei Mos, and we have the parsha of the Musafim in Parshas Pinchas. And the one would have thought that one has nothing to do with the other. But the problem is that they obviously do have something to do with the other, because when it comes to this Sayer that is brought, with every single one of the Moadim, there's always a Sayer Lachatas. But when it comes to the Sayer Lachatas of the Musafim of Yom HaKippurim, the Torah says, Milvat Chatat HaKippurim, which is a crazy thing to say. I mean, why in the world would we think that the Sayer that's mentioned with the Musafei Hayom is what? Is together? Is the equivalent of? So the Milvat Chatat HaKippurim already interrelates the two parshas. So that's one question. And then the question is, the organization even of the first parsha of Achrei Mot also is a problem, because it says there something that Aaron went and did, and it doesn't say what it is. So that we found to be very troubling. And we said yesterday that we filled that in with the Hotzas Kaf Umachta. So now getting back to the way that we learned it, we find that there's a machlokes between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Akiva about the order. According to Rebbe Eliezer, we continue on to do like it says in the pasuk. The Kohen Gadol is Yatza. We don't know what Yatza means, but it says he's Yatza and he's Osa Elov Elaam. So that interrelates also the Ayel, as we're going to see, of Parshas Pinchas, which again is brought with all of the Musafim. I mean, it's really weird that all of a sudden this aisle is the same aisle as the aisle that's brought in Achrei Mot. I mean, okay, we'll get into that later. But anyway, the aisle that was brought by the Kohen Gadol, Bepar ben Bakar v'ayel lo'ola, was brought together with the aisle that belongs to the Tzibur, which is Me'et Adat b'nei Yisrael yikru shnei si'irei izim v'ayel echad lo'ola. Those two elim were brought as immediately as the next step, which is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that they brought him a vielo big day zahav. He puts on his big day zahav, asat elo vet elaam, and then he does the shivat hakvasim. Fine. So that's what he does over here, according to Rebbe Eliezer. He brings elo ve elaam. He brings the emurechatas. What about the par ha'ola of the Musaf? And what about the Shivat HaKvasim of the Musaf? And what about the Soyer that we call the Sora Nasa Bechutz of the Musaf, not to be confused with the Sora Nasa Bechutz, meaning the Sora Mishtaleach? That was all brought together with the Tomei Chol Bein HaArbaim and has nothing to do with the Avodas Hayom. We first finish all the Avodas Hayom, then we go and we bring all of that. Rabbi Akiva in the Tosefta was like this. Rabbi Akiva Omer, the Par HaOlah and the Shivat HaKvasim, those were brought actually in the morning. Not like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that they were brought with the Tomei Chol Bein HaArbaim, they were brought with the Tomei Chol Shachar. Because it says beferish by the Musafim, Milvad Olata Boker Asher Olata Tamid. So how can you possibly not see that as being definitive? Then we do all of the Avodas Hayom, which is the Parsha Achrei Mot, and then we bring the Sora Naaseh Bachutz. Why then do we bring this? Now, listen, there's two ways of learning this. I'm going to read it the way our Gemara reads it, even though yesterday I really mentioned both of them. I'm going to read it the way our Gemara reads it, which is not like the Gra. The Gra changes the gears over here. But the way that our Gemara presents it is the way that the Rambam presents it and Paskin's Halacha. So what this would mean is that since it says Milvad, it says Beferish by the Seir Anaseh Bechutz, it says V'si'iri zimechat chatat milvad chatat ha-kippurim. What the Torah seems to be saying is to bring all three Se'irim together. First bring the Seir that's Lashem, that was in the Goralot. Then bring the Seir HaNaaseh Bechutz, which is really the Seir La'Azazel. And then bring the Seir HaNaaseh Bechutz, that's the Seir of the Musafim. And that was brought together such that the three Se'irim were dealt with at one time. And that was the meaning of the Milvad Chatat HaKippurim. So therefore, that's the girsa that we have here. Then do the Sora Naaseh Bechutz, and this Rabbi Akiva is voted to. Shenemar Soir Izim Echat Chatat, Milvat Chatat HaKippurim. So first take care of the Soir. Then go back to the order in Achrei Mot, which is the Elo, the Ela Am, followed by the Imurei Chatas, which is exactly what it says in Achrei Mot, followed by the Tomichel Bein HaArbaim, and that Tamid Shal Ben Arbaim, now Rashi understands when we say followed by the Tamid Shal Ben Arbaim, we don't mean literally followed immediately. It's just that we're ignoring the Hotzaz Kafu Machta here because it's not mentioned in the Pasuk. So the next thing that we're going to do is the Tamid Shal Ben Arbaim, but in reality, it's going to be interrupted by the Hotzaz Kafu Machta, which means that the Tamid Shal Ben Arbaim is brought at the fifth tefillah. Remember, yesterday we separated everything by tefillah so that we can remember what the interruption was. Fine. So that would mean, according to Rashi, in the fifth tefillah. The Rambam learns the Gemara Kipshuta, that this was done in the third tefillah, not in the fifth tefillah, which is the way Tosfos learns. That way, the Mishnah is not a contradiction, because the Mishnah talks about going out, it says Beferish, going out and doing Elo ve'Ela Am, and then doing also the Musafim. So how is that? That means that now we're saying the Mishnah is completely wrong? All that Ravat said yesterday, as Tosfos points out, is that you're not going to get the full picture from the Mishnah. Didn't say the Mishnah is wrong. Didn't say the Mishnah is Mishubashet. Therefore, the Rambam's approach, Tosfos' approach, is that it means exactly what it's saying. During the third tefillah, is the time at which we're doing all of the things that we do bachutz, interrupt now by going back to the big day Lavan. It's about time, Gavi. You missed out on yesterday, which is a disaster, and I sure hope that you review it, because this is an extremely complicated daf that continues the entire picture of Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So you better get to work fast, man.
He's been waiting for a scapegoat, Gavi. Thank you for showing up just when we needed the Sire.
Man, oh man. No, it's unbelievable. I really hope you get a chance to listen. It's terrible chaval. Okay, so then what we do is we interrupt for the next tefillah, which is the fourth tefillah. That's just the tefillah to put on the big day Lavan for the Hotzaz Kafu Machta. We do the fifth tefillah, put back on your big day Zohav. And according to Rashi, then we do the Musafim together with the Tamid Shoben Arba'im, together with the regular Keteris that's brought every day, Ben Arba'im, together with the Menorah. According to the Rambam and according to Tosfos, back in the third Tefillah, we already finished the Musafim and the Elo Elam that everybody agreed we finished. And then we do at the final Tefillah, which is the Big Day Zav at the end, after the Tzaz Kafu Machta, which was done with the fourth Tefillah, which was putting back on the Big Day Lovan, all that is left to do, according to the Rambam and Tosfos, is the Keteres Shoben Arba'im and the Menorah. We have finished already the Musafim together with the Tamid Shoben Arba'im. Okay, so we have very different approaches over here. That is Rabbi Akiva. Now, the question is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it does say in the Pasuk, Milvat Chatat HaKippurim, and yet Rabbi Eliezer completely ignores that, and he says that the entire Musaf is brought only together and only afterwards, and despite the fact that it says Milvad Olat HaBoker, the whole thing is done in the afternoon. And he does not hold not that the kvasim were brought in the morning, not that the par was brought in the morning, and not that the seir was brought together with the other seirim. So he argues in every possible way. So now, according to Rebbe Eliezer, what is the reason that we do it in this direction? Says Rebbe Eliezer, what are you kidding? What is the reason? I'm following the psukim, pasuk after pasuk. Now, what comes first in your Sefer Torah? I mean, in my Sefer Torah, Vayikra always comes first. So I do what it says first, and I finish the entire Achrimos, and then when I get to Pinchas, that's already much later in Bamidbar, then I do what it says in Pinchas. You know, what's your problem? So why in the world would I mix up the Karbonos in Pinchas and do them before I do the Karbonos in Achrimos? Makes no sense. So Avid Kedichtiv, so Kedichtiv, Avid Bereisha. So what do we have? We have Bereisha Taraskanim. So Ovid Bereisha Taraskanim, Vader Ovid Chumash HaPkudim. Rabbi Akiva, we know Rabbi Akiva's reasoning. Rabbi Akiva says, look, it says in the Pasuk, Novad Olat HaBoker, Asher Olat HaTamid, which means that the Musafim were brought with the Tamid Shel Shachar. Now, Rabbi Eliezer does not even have to answer that point. Why? And he doesn't. Why doesn't he have to answer that point? Because it doesn't say that about Yom Kippur. It only says that about Pesach. So, says Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, I don't understand. That's all very nice. Obviously, when it comes to the other regalim, it's the only carbon that we're bringing besides the carbon tamid. So what do you expect? But when it comes to Yom Kippur, when we got this whole complicated Avodas Hayom, why would you think that it applies to Yom Kippur? What's more important, the Seder in which it's written in the Torah, or the fact that in the other regalim, it comes together with the Tamid Shel Shachar? Obviously, the Seder that it's written in the Torah. So because of that, he pays no attention to this argument. But what does bother us is, what does he do with the Milvat Chatat HaKippurim? Because the Milvat Chatat HaKippurim means that the Soyer HaNase B'chutz, again, I hate that Lashon because it's so confusing to people, but the Gemara uses it. So the Soyer of the Musafim that is brought on the Mizbeach HaChitza, not to be confused, obviously, with the Soyer La'azazel. But it says in the Pasuk, Novat Chatat HaKippurim, which implies that we should bring that Soyer together with the other Shnei Seirim, right after we finish those Shnei Seirim. And Rabbi Eliezer completely ignores that. And he says, just bring the Seir together with the other Musafim. What's the problem? That's written in Pinchas, so it comes later. So then what does he do, in fact, with the Pasuk of Milvat Chatat HaKippurim? So, hi, Milvat Chatat HaKippurim, my Ovid, like, what does he use it for? He uses it to tell me, Aomi Boile, that Al-Masha Zemechaper, Zemechaper. Since the Torah never explained what precisely was the Kapora of the Soyer of the Musafim, here is where we learn that the idea of the Seirim that are brought with all of the Musafim are talking about a Tumas Migdash V'Kedoshav that has Yediyah B'Sof, but has no Yediyah B'Tchila. This was the whole story in Shruas, in the Mishnah, and in great detail in the Gemara. And that is why it's necessary. Otherwise, we would never have known which Karbanos are Mechaper on what. Okay, this is the first presentation that we have of the Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now, there was a further two subdivisions of Rabbi Akiva that were different than the way that we have it over here in Rabbi Akiva in the Tosefta, according to which the kvasim are split. Some of them are brought in the morning, and some of them are brought in the afternoon, which is really weird. The Gemara, of course, in a moment is going to ask, why in the world would we do that? But so first we have Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda quotes Rabbi Akiva, and he says, no, the way you've got it is wrong. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mishma, one of the seven kvasim is brought with the Tamid Shel Shachar, but six of the kvasim is brought with the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, I agree with you that we do split the kvasim into six and one, but I say six are brought with the Tamid Shel Shachar, and one was brought with the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. What is the reason why we would split? Why does Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, how did they justify Rabbi Akiva saying that we should split the kvasim since it does say, Milvad olata boker asher lo olata tamid? So how do they justify this weird kind of idea? Because they say, look, we've got two separate psukim. The first pasuk Rabbi Akiva quoted was Milvad olat haboker. Okay, but the other pasuk is this weird lashon of v'yatsa ve'asa et olato ve'et olata'am. Now, can you explain to me what the meaning of this v'yatsa is supposed to be? So what that seems to be saying is that the yitzia over here is where we have to do part of these karbanas, correct? Now, part of these karbanas is the El Ha'am, and it's giving us no choice but to say that that's got to be done right there. V'yatsa. So he's going out, and that's when he does the Eila and the Olat Ha'am. So Yilkach, if we've got two psukim, so then we've got to do some of the Musafir together with the Olat HaTamid, and we've got to do some of the psukim together with this V'yatsa, which is what he's doing then, because V'yatsa means after the Avodas Hayom. So now we're walking out, and we're finished with the Avodas Hayom, V'yatsa, and now we're going to start working on the Musafim. So how do we explain that? Obviously, not all of the Musafim are brought in the morning, if the Torah is telling me to do this now. So therefore, we do some of it Kiseder, which is what Rabbi Eliezer said, and we do some of it together with the morning, which is what Rabbi Akiva had originally said. That must be the pshat. So then why do we argue about whether first we do six and then we do one, or whether first we do one and then we do six? That's just a logistical consideration. What are they arguing in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon? They're arguing in logistics. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, we're going to have to split it. I say, let's do one in the morning, because if we do more than one in the morning, we'll do just enough to be Mekayim the Pasuk Milvado La Taboker. Because if you don't do immediately after that one, the Avodas Hayom, by the time the Kohen Gadol gets finished bringing all of those kvasim, he's going to be very tired. So, maybe he will get too weak from the Ta'anit and from his exertions at that point, and he's not going to have the kayach to do the Avodas Hayom. Whereas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no. You started. What do you mean? You don't stop in the middle. You start. You do six. Okay, you need to leave one because the Torah said do some of the Musafim afterwards. And then, because, look, I'd rather you get done with the Musafim as many as possible. Because in the event that he's going to end up getting tired, then at least he's going to have finished 90% of the Musafim already, right? But we're certainly not worried that he's going to get tired and not do the Aveda of Achrimos. That's ridiculous. That's the one thing that he's been working on and looking forward to for the past month. I mean, come on. The Shivas Yomim have been intense practice for that. The Gabe Aveda Sayom Zorizu. The Kohen Gadol is all worked up and excited to do the Aveda Sayom in Akrimos, but the Musafim are sort of boring. So if he didn't finish six of the Kvasim in the morning, he might just give up You know? Like this, he's only going to have one kefas to do after he finishes the Avodah Sayom. So fine, okay. That'll already take care of. That makes much more sense to me. Okay. Now, what it turns out is that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer did not say one word about any other aisle that was going to be brought together with the Musaf. Is that correct? There's no other aisle. They talk about Shivat Kvasim, they talk about a par, and they talk about the Surah Nasib Achutz. Where's the aisle of the Musaf? Obviously, they all are agreed that the aisle of the Musaf is the El Ha'am that's brought in the morning, correct? Okay. What is that going like? Where do we get the idea that that aisle is the same as the El Ha'am? I mean, that's a little bit off the wall because every single Musaf has an aisle. And why in the world should the Musaf of Yom Kippur's aisle be mentioned in Akremos? What does that have to do with the Musafim? There must have been two Elim. And yet, everybody here, Reb Eliezer, Reb Akiva, all agree that Chad Ayelu, there was only one. Now, who does that go according to? Come on. Oh, that goes according to Rebbe, because that's the Machlokes, the Tanya. Rebbe Omer Ayel Achad. There's only one aisle. The one that is mentioned here in Achremot, Ha'amur Khan, that is the same aisle that's mentioned in the Musafim of Chumash HaPikunim. Whereas Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, no, nothing to do with it. Shnei Elimein. One was the one that's here, Echad Amur Khan in Achremot, and Echad Amur B'Chumash HaPikunim, and then there's the other one, where it says together, the par ben bakar echad, ayel echad, kvasim eneshen hashiva, which it says by every regal. Why would that be the same one? Indeed, why would it be the same one? Where would Rebbe get the idea that it's the same one? So my time in the Rebbe, Rebbe says, look, it specifies ayel echad, okay? Echad means echad, that there's only one ayel. Rebbe does not seem to be bothered by the fact that on every single regal it says Echad. What's it coming to tell me there? Fine. So that's not our problem here. But, I mean, it's obviously something that we're going to need to explain. So he says Echad. So Rebbe Shimon says, okay, Echad, I understand. But you know what Echad means? Echad means Miyuchad Shebe'edro. It's like the most perfect animal that you've got. Choose the absolute best. That's what it means. Rebbe says, what do I need a pasuk to tell me that from? For if there's a beferish of pasuk that says, Mifchar Nidrechem, everything that you bring always has to be the best. So why do I need a special pasuk to tell me that the aisle has to be the best? Says Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Shimon, I do need to tell you. Because Mifchar Nidrechem, Nidrechem are gifts. Those are nedavos. So maybe I would have thought, if the Torah had only said Mivchar Nidrechem, that it's saying, if you're going to bring me a gift, bring me the best you got. Otherwise, don't bother bringing me a gift. Don't insult me by bringing me less than the best. Masha Enkein, when it comes to a chiyuv, maybe the chiyuv is not mechayev you to bring necessarily the best. I mean, you're telling me I have to bring it, so I'll be yotze, my chiyuv. Masha Enkein, if it would have only said over here, Echad, I would have said, okay, Achiev, listen, Achiev, you have to bring your best. Masha Enkein, if you're bringing a gift, you know what they say, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. So, if this is the gift, okay, so this is the best that I want to give as a gift. Are you telling me I must give the best I have as a gift? Therefore, I need both of them. So, Chad Bechova, V'chad B'Nedava, V'tzricha, and it makes sense that I should then need both. I think that makes sense. Then we said, Kidesh Yada Varaglav, and he goes in, and that's at the end, to bring out the Kaf Umach.